السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers in Islam, this ayat of the Quran Sharif, I'm sure most of you must have already by-hearted, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala prescribed the fasting of Ramadan upon us, just as He prescribed on those before us. For what reason? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So that you may develop within yourself the sifat of taqwa. And the promises that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has made on taqwa are so numerous in the Quran Sharif and also in the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that if only we have to understand those benefits, then every person would be desirous of becoming a muttaqi. Then he would distance himself from those sins which are keeping him away from attaining the sifat of taqwa. Because he believes that he is getting some kind of enjoyment in those sins, so therefore he is giving preference to those sins over the attainment of this great sifat of taqwa. In fact, if we have to look at the Quran Sharif and the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and the teachings of Sharia and Deen, then if somebody has to ask me that, say in one word, what is the purpose of all the ahkam of Sharia, just in one word, then I would say taqwa. That means if a person has to condense the teachings of the Quran, the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the teachings of Deen, if everything he has to condense it into just one word, it would be taqwa. Then that same word again, if you expand, it will cover every aspect of Deen. That means if you have to take the fasting, it is for taqwa. If you have to take all the other ibadat, whether it is namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, although certain specific maqasid or objectives have been mentioned with regards to them, but the end objective is the attainment of taqwa. Therefore Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhan nas ubudu rabbakum allazi khalaqakum wallazina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. O you people, worship that Rabb of yours who created you and who created those before you, so that you may become muttaqi. If you have to look at the Battle of Badr, it is the 17th of Ramadan, and no Muslim in the world who has a little bit of knowledge of the history of Islam can forget that the 17th of Ramadan was the day in which the decisive battle of Badr took place. It was a decisive battle because it was for the first time that the Muslims engaged in war with the enemies of Islam upon the hukam of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. In the entire life in Makkah Mukarrama, there was this order of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that you go on giving the da'wah towards the deen of Allah, but there must be no retaliation. I mentioned in some bayan of mine, if I recall correctly, I don't know whether here or somewhere, that sometimes we tend to misunderstand, and some people say that the purpose why the first 13 years there was no jihad was because, na'uzu billah, the sahaba ikram, they were not yet disciplined to fight for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Now na'uzu billah, how can we have this kind of a opinion with regards to those sahaba ikram, that 13 years they got the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they were not yet disciplined to make jihad for the sake of Allah Ta'ala? Can it ever appeal to anyone In these days we say that if a person stays in the company of some pious and righteous person, some great wali of Allah and some buzrug, Allah wala person, just for a few days, changes start coming in his life. And if he has to spend a year or two, then that person becomes a great qutub of the time. So the people staying in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it took them 13 years or 14 years, and still they were not disciplined to make jihad for the sake of Allah ta'ala. So we must be very careful when we make these kind of statements. The whole purpose there was Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wanted this deen of his to be announced repeatedly. If they had engaged in jihad immediately, many people would have lost their lives. In jihad, many people's lives would have been taken. Some sahabas would have lost their lives, and on the kuffar side, many would have lost their lives. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wanted that this deen of Islam, it must reach every person. The person could have been still under ignorance that he was still fighting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or probably the deen had not yet reached him in the manner that it should have reached. And as a result, they were told that you just continue conveying the kalima, la ilaha illallah, and whatever difficulties, trials, hardships, problems come upon you, you make sabr over it. Until finally, when everything reached the limit, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave the permission now to the Muslims that you can also engage in warfare against those who are fighting against you. And that is when this whole, the first battle that took place was the Battle of Badr. There is no time at all to go into the details of the Battle of Badr. It requires hours and hours. But every little child who has done some Islamic history, he knows that this was the decisive battle. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not set out with the niyat of battle also. It was one caravan of Abu Sufyan which was to be captured, but Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had decided otherwise. But the lesson that we learn from there is that they were only 313 in number. It set the precedent for the Muslim Ummah that you must not look at the quantity of arms and ammunition. You must not look at the numbers that you have in your armies. You must not look at the material resources that you possess. Again, we must not misunderstand, because some people will then say, well, we don't have to make any preparation, all we have to do is just sit in the masjid and make dua. So that is again a misunderstanding. For those who are young, fit, healthy, and those who could have gone into jihad and into the battlefield, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked them to undergo training. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself, when he went into the battle of Uhud, he had 2 coat of arms, and yet he had the greatest tawakkul in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Although he had seen the angels descend in the Battle of Badr, but still preparations were made for the other battles. The digging of the trench, who does not know how long it took and under what difficult conditions that trench had to be dug. Could not Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam just sat in the masjid and told the sahabas that you saw 3,000 angels coming down in the Battle of Badr, so what is the need now to go outside and dig a trench? Let us just sit here, we will make dua, and I'm the Nabi of Allah ta'ala, and we will succeed. But he didn't do that. The same in the Battle of Badr also. What it means is that if you have limited resources, you don't have the arms and ammunition that your enemies have, you don't have the numbers that your enemies have, then you should not lose hope, because there are only 2 conditions that have to be met. And those 2 conditions are, وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا لَا يَدُرُّكُمْ كَيْدُهُمْ شَيْئًا وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا لَا يَدُرُّكُمْ كَيْدُهُمْ شَيْئًا. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that if you have 2 conditions met and fulfilled, then all their planning, I'm just giving you the meaning, then all their planning, whatever planning they may do, whatever scheming they may do, whatever ideologies they may have, and whatever preparation they may make, and whatever secret and dark corners they may meet to discuss how to annihilate and wipe out the Muslim Ummah, but all that will fail. Because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we know that He is the best of all planners. But these 2 conditions have to be met. Bala wa in tasbiru wa tattaqu. That you have patience. And this sabr again has got a very, very wide meaning. That you must have sabr ala ta'at. Namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, whatever is the ahkam of Allah ta'ala. Then you must make sabr and go ahead in the fulfillment of that hukam, no matter what kind of pain comes on your heart. No matter what kind of difficulty. If it is a winter morning or it's a summer morning, whether the fajr is very early or it is late, but it's extremely cold to get up. But the person says that I must fulfill the hukam of Allah Ta'ala. So in, on ta'at, whatever is the rights of people in the fulfillment of that, no matter whatever kind of difficulty comes on the person, but the person goes ahead with the fulfillment of those obligations and those duties and fulfillment of the rights of others. When it comes to halal and haram in his business, then there he makes sure that he goes for only that which is halal, because that is the hukam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. No matter what kind of deal he misses out on, as I've mentioned many times by now and given this example in many places, and alhamdulillah many people have reported that after listening to that example, they have given up sins in their lives. Just the other day, one youngster before Ramadan, in his early 20s he is, or must be 25. Now he says that, Maulana, just that one example of yours made me give up the casino. Otherwise, every time I used to go, I used to think I'm winning. But he says, that example of yours, it took that love of casino out of my heart. And he said, therefore I'm waiting yet to tell you that what it has done to my life. So that example was that if a person wins even $10 billion, or if he wins $1 million, or in our lottery, if the person is winning 13 million or 16 million or 30 million, then to a Muslim that person has won nothing but pigs. That means if a Muslim is told that you have won 30 million pigs and we are transporting these pigs to your farm because you have won 30 million pigs, and we will announce it in the newspapers also, that Mr. So-and-so, a Muslim, believer in Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he won 30 million pigs which will be transported soon. Would you like it? Would any person be happy with that kind of an announcement? Or would anybody be happy with that kind of a winning of 30 million pigs? Then believe it, that $30 million is exactly the 30 million pigs. And not only that, even if he wins 1 rand or 1 billion, if it is haram, or if he gains it in a haram way, then it is just like getting one pig. If the person got one pig, how he will hate it and detest it, in the same way he got one, if he got $1 in gain with through the haram sources, then it is like one pig. And if he got $1 billion, then too it is 1 billion pigs. So this person, he will go ahead with the fulfillment of those ahkam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That sabr he will make and he will go ahead. Then the sabr anil ma'asi, that from the sins the person will make sabr. One is in the fulfillment of those hukam, that whatever he is going to do, whatever Allah ta'ala has ordered, he will go ahead making sabr. And the other one is from the ma'asiyat and the sins he is making sabr. Temptations are coming, temptations upon temptations. When he reads the newspaper, there's temptation. The magazine's got temptation. The television, temptation. In the bazaars and marketplaces, temptation. In the schools and colleges, because of all the co-education, there's temptations. Everywhere that he walks, there's nothing but temptation. Now this person who's under so much of pressure of temptation, now what does he do? He makes sabr anil ma'asiyat. That he takes that sabr, he makes that sabr, he restrains himself, and he does not indulge in that ma'asiyat and in that sin. And then again on musibat and difficulties and hardships and problems, he makes sabr. Of course, again, we must not misunderstand these things. It doesn't mean that he will not make use of the means. If he is in some difficulty, if he is sick, then he must go to the doctor, he must take medication. If the person is in financial problems, then sabr doesn't mean now he must sit relaxed at home and don't do anything and his problems will be solved. He must go to the marketplace, he must go and ask few people, is there any job for me? I'm prepared to do anything as long as I get halal earnings. In this way, if this person makes an effort, Allah Ta'ala will find a way out. But the thing is that he makes sabr anil ma'asiyat and he makes sabr ala ta'at, and any difficulties, hardships, he makes sabr. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that if this person has got sabr, wa in tasbiru, O you Muslim ummah, O you believers in Allah, O you believers in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O you believers in the day of judgment, O you believers in life after death, O you believers in the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam being the truth and nothing but the truth, and the kalam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala being the truth and nothing but the truth, then if you have sabr and you have taqwa, wa in tasbiru wa tattaqu, La yadurrukum kaiduhum shay'a. Nothing of any kind. Their mischief, their planning, their scheming, their plotting, everything will not harm you in any way. Shay'an nakira. Allah Ta'ala says it will not harm you. Why? Because Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala knows all that they are doing, and he is well aware of everything they are doing. He has covered everything that they are doing. So there will be some tests and trial to sort out the believers from the disbelievers, the munafiqeen from those who are mukhlisin. Allah Ta'ala wants to sort out those who are true believers and those who just got Islam and Iman on their lips, and those who are of the sincere ones and those who are of the munafiqeen. Or Allah Ta'ala wants to get a few people to become shaheed for the sake of this mobile deen of his. So that will happen, that there will be a few shaheeds, so that the history of this great deen may be written with the blood of the martyrs. The Sahaba Ikram who gave their lives in the Battle of Uhud, Nauzu Billah, were they weak, or their Iman was weak, or Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala was not aware of their degree of Iman, or Allah Ta'ala couldn't have sent the angels there immediately and assisted them. But up till now we say that look at those 70 Sahabas that gave their lives in the Battle of Uhud. What kind of sacrifices they made. Everybody talks about their greatness and their sacrifices, and how they tried to protect Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and all the things that happened there. We relate it and we say, look at the bravery of these soldiers of Islam, that for the sake of the deen of Allah, they went through these sacrifices. They even gave their lives. Jaan di di hui usi ki thi, haq to ye hai ke haq ada na hua. So this battle of Badr was a decisive battle. But as I said, that I'm not discussing the battle of Badr, it requires a lot of time. But in relationship to this fasting, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may develop within yourself the spirit of taqwa, so that you may restrain yourself from all that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has declared as haram and forbidden. So therefore Allah ta'ala made some food halal, which was halal, He made it haram whilst you are fasting. And that drink which was halal, Allah Ta'ala made it haram whilst you are fasting. And that wife which was halal, Allah Ta'ala made it haram whilst you are fasting. So that if we get that spirit or we get that strength to restrain ourselves from those things which were halal for the pleasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then how easy it would be then to restrain ourselves from those things which are haram all our lives. And then when we will get this taqwa, then all those promises again will be fulfilled. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ, etc., etc. So these last 10 days and nights which are coming, inshallah we will continue on this subject, but these last 10 days and nights which are coming, they are very precious nights and precious days. We should not be negligent. It is to our own detriment if we are going to be negligent. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has warned when he was speaking about Laylatul Qadr. He said that this night, which is better than 1,000 months, only that person is deprived. Only that person. First of all, he said that the person who is deprived of the blessings of that Laylatul Qadr, he is a very unfortunate person. And then only that person is deprived who is a very, very unfortunate person. That means if the person doesn't get Laylatul Qadr, he said, if the person doesn't get Laylatul Qadr, then he is deprived of the blessings. And only that person is deprived of the blessings of Laylatul Qadr who is a very unfortunate person. Now we all say we want to be of the fortunate ones. We want to be amongst the fortunate ones. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave so much of virtues of Laylatul Qadr. And the easiest and the best way to get Laylatul Qadr is to spend the nights in i'tikaf, make i'tikaf in the masjid for the last 10 days and 10 nights. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, who went in the battle of Badr also, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, who went in Fatah Makkah also, in that expedition to Makkah Sharif, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, who was engaged in every activity of deen that you can think of, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there was zikr in his life, there was tilawat in his life, he used to stand whole night in prayer, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was waging jihad, he was doing everything, but yet without fail he made i'tikaf. Without fail he made i'tikaf. And 1 year, because he couldn't make it because of an expedition, so he made i'tikaf for 20 nights. And sometimes for 30 nights. And that hadith is so famous that first he made for the 10, and then for the next 10, and then he said that those who made i'tikaf with me for the 20 nights, continue and for the next 10, because I was told that Laylatul Qadr, in search of which I was making this i'tikaf, is in the 10 nights that are following. So therefore continue with me. And then he said, I was shown when that Laylatul Qadr was. He says, in the early morning, I found myself making sajda on mud. And the Sahaba say, because it had rained, and the masjid of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we know that it wasn't made like our masjids. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made sajda on sand, and the effect of the sand was seen on his forehead. And he said that night was the 21st, which means the first night of i'tikaf, which we have here. So if a person cannot sit for valid reasons, and again we must not misunderstand, that it doesn't mean the entire community must sit down in i'tikaf. That all the butchers, bakers, candlestick makers and undertakers must all sit down in i'tikaf. So if that's going to happen, then who's going to supply us with the iftaris? So there will be people that will be carrying on with the businesses also. There will be people who will be going out in da'wat and tabligh work. There will be people who will be sitting in i'tikaf. There will be people who will be engaged in madrasas. There will be people who will be engaged in other kind of dini activities. There will be people who will be delivering hampers to the poor and the needy so that they may also make iftar and so that they may also celebrate Eid. There will be people who will be serving so many different departments of deen. But they too, at least some part of the nights, no matter which activity they are involved in, they must not say, we are too busy in our business, we are too busy in delivering hampers, we are too busy in doing something else. They too, every night of the last 10 nights, they should find some time, 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, or the whole night, whatever is within their capacity, to remain engaged in zikr, in ibadat, in namaz, in dua. Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is reported to have said that Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam descends with his band of angels, and they go to every home, everywhere, wherever any person is engaged in making zikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, in remembering Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, or the person is reading namaz, or the person is making ibadat, or the person is making dua, whatever ibadat he may be engaged in. So these angels are told to go in those homes, and they must shake hand with those people. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has even given what effects that shaking of the hand of the angels will have on that person that is making dua at that time or engaged in ibadat at that time. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is opening the floodgates of his rahmat in those nights. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants to forgive us, he wants to bless us, he wants to solve our problems. But are there any takers from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? So the programs which will be held in this masjid also inshallah for the last 10 nights. So if a person cannot sit and can't make sunnah i'tikaf for valid reasons, a person is sick or is engaged in other business and activities, then at least some part of the night, spend it, make dua to Allah Ta'ala, and who knows, it could be a Laylatul Qadr, an experience of a lifetime that this person will have. There are so many people, young people, who after experiencing Laylatul Qadr, because it's an experience, then they say that, we wish we had had this kind of experience all the Ramadans that went by. So let us not miss out. We are in need of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's forgiveness like never before. Because of our sins and because of the dark clouds of masiyat and sins that are floating around, that wherever you go you see nothing but darkness, bleak, and you do not know when the azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala may strike. At such a time, who knows the tears of which person in which place in the last 10 nights of Ramadan may remove that darkness. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, give you and the entire ummah the tawfiq to appreciate and value the precious moments of this Mubarak month of Ramadan and not pass, let it pass by in negligence. It is not befitting a Muslim whom Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants to bless and is announcing himself that I want to forgive. Now if this person is going to be negligent, then it is at his own peril and detriment. There will be lots of other attractions, but for some time in the last 10 nights, forget about those attractions and distractions and get to the masjids. And if not, then at home, wherever you are, just switch off those televisions, switch off those radio stations, switch off everything else, unless of course there's some program that the person is listening to which is of qiraat or of some bayan. But otherwise, all the other things which create a disturbance in the person's tranquility of the heart, especially in this month of Ramadan, then shut the heart from all such kind of distractions. And just go on a diet from sins for the last few days of Ramadan, if we haven't been able to do so for the first 17-20 days. And then just see what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives in the heart. Wallah, I can take qasam upon qasam upon qasam in this masjid of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that Allah ta'ala gives something in the hearts. He gives it. Again that example, that if Allah Ta'ala can put sweetness into sugar cane, which is nothing but bamboo sticks, cannot He put sweetness of Iman into the hearts of sinners like us? If only we make a little bit of sincere tawbah and we turn towards Him, you think that Allah Ta'ala cannot give us that which He gave to millions of people in the past? May Allah Ta'ala give me first of all in each and every one of us. It is for our benefit, brothers, not for anybody else's. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.